Our scripture this morning is from the Acts, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. Listen for God's word. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Now there were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Oh, look! Aren't they all people who are speaking Galileans? Every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language?" Parthians, Medes, and the Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the regions of Libya bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages. They were all surprised and bewildered. Some ask each other, what does this mean? Others jeered at them, saying, they're just full of new wine. Now, Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." He went on, "Fellow Israelites, listen to these words. Jesus, the Nazarene, was a man whose credentials God proved to you through miracles, wonders, and signs, which God performed through him among you. You yourselves know this. In accordance with God's established plan and foreknowledge, He was betrayed. You, with the help of wicked men, had Jesus killed by nailing Him to the cross. God raised Him up. God freed Him from death's dreadful grip, since it was impossible for death to hang on to Him. David says about Him, "I foresaw that the Lord was always with me, because He is at my right hand, and I won't be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my body will live in hope, because You won't abandon me to the grave, nor permit Your Holy One to experience decay. You have shown me the paths of life. Your presence will fill me with happiness." Brothers and sisters, I can speak confidently about the patriarch David. He died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this very day. Because he was a prophet, he knew that God promised him with a solemn pledge to seat one of his descendants on his throne. Having seen this beforehand, David spoke about the resurrection of Christ, the Messiah. He wasn't abandoned to the grave, nor did his body experience decay. This Jesus God raised up, and we are witnesses to that fact. He was exalted to God's right side and received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit. He poured out this Spirit, and you are seeing and hearing the results of His having done so. David didn't ascend into heaven, yet he says this, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right side until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel know beyond question that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, Messiah." When the crowd heard this, they were deeply troubled. They said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter replied this, "Change your hearts and lives. Each of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God invites." With many other words, he testified to them and encouraged them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Those who accepted Peter's message were baptized, and God brought about 3,000 people into the community that day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, what are we celebrating in our church world during this Eastertide season of the year. Today, we celebrate Pentecost, what many call the birthday of the church. So, what does Pentecost have to do with us Presbyterians? I mean, really. Pentecost was when all those people received the Holy Spirit. And what do we Presbyterians have to do with this Holy Spirit? Too often we hear or say, we believe in the Holy Spirit. And we really don't give it much of a thought. It slips out of our mouths so gracefully, and yet we need to understand what it is that we're saying. Now, does your mind's eye see some ghostly appearing thing looking like a sheet draped figure at Halloween? Does your mind's eye even put an image on the Holy Spirit? William Young, in his book, The Shack, describes the Holy Spirit with the name Soraya as a mystical being that one does not so much see as to sense. Maybe like noticing a movement out of the corner of your eye. When someone says something about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, do we think about the people in those Pentecostal or charismatic churches that sometimes dance around or get slain in the Spirit? Are we intimidated by the thoughts of those churches that practice speaking in tongues? Those church services seem so out of control. Now, we easily say that this Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. But what does that mean? What does Pentecost have to do with my day-to-day living? Why? What happened some 2,000 years ago? How can that be important to me today? All these are interesting questions, but I don't know that I can give you all the answers. Pentecost was one of three Jewish feasts celebrated each year. It was called the Festival of Weeks. Others called it the Festival of First Fruits. It was celebrated 50 days after the Passover. It was held in the spring of the year when the first harvest of the fields and groves were made and offered to God. It was 7 weeks and a day after the Festival of Passover. The significance of 7 weeks, 7 times 7, was very important to the Jewish people. The number 50 was important because it brought to mind the year of Jubilee, which was to be celebrated in the 50th year. This remembrance is similar to what we do in our reaffirmation of our baptismal vows and in our communion services. So that feast was important to the Jews. But what we need really to look at and to consider is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, pure and simple. God is Spirit, and in this case, the Spirit is God. God is revealed to us in different roles: Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Some would say and equate the role of Creator to God, God the Father. The role of Redeemer to Jesus Christ. And finally, the role of sustainer to the Holy Spirit. This then would be the triune Godhead. Some people would picture this Godhead in the form of a triangle, with God the Father at the top of the symbol, and the other two in roles of God at the bottom, inferior to God the Father, and at the base. Now, we as Christians tend to place Jesus at the higher place in this hierarchy. And so then this puts the Holy Spirit at the lowest point in our configuration of the Godhead. But consider this. The Holy Spirit has been mentioned from the beginning of creation and throughout both the Old and New Testaments. Friends, God desires a relationship with mankind. And in life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, God provides the way. Jesus is the ultimate example of God's grace and love. Then God sent the Holy Spirit to dwell among all people. And when the Spirit came and the believers were prompted to speak in other languages, people around them from other countries heard the gospel being proclaimed in their own language. Did all believe? No. Sadly, there were those who scoffed, saying that the people speaking in tongues were drunk. But the good news is and was that there were those who opened themselves to this marvel of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was the promised coming of God in the midst of all mankind. God was being active in the hearts and souls of the believers. The Spirit was and is the one who convicts us of our sin and brings to our mind the will of God. This Spirit walks beside us and comforts us in times of trial. This Spirit puts God's ideas and words into our mouths as we minister to each other and to others. This Spirit is the power of God in the church and in our lives today. This Pentecostal event was intended for the church to be born. This was a gift from God, not just for those early believers, but for us today. They did not ask for it. They did not know what to expect, nor did they do anything for this gift. It was simply given by God. We, in the same way, while we do not ask for it, we willfully acknowledge the gift when it is given. Or not. Some will back away from this gift because one does not know what to expect. We all fear the unknown, and this gift is an unknown. And so we back away also because we don't want to lose control. And yet, if we accept the gift, it will certainly provide many answers to our wants and desires. We absolutely don't deserve it, this gift. And nothing that we can do justify our receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus has already done all that is needed to be done by going to the cross for our sin. Jesus did all that God required. And thus, we are given this gift. Are we willing to accept it? So what does Pentecost mean to us Presbyterians? It means we're a part of the family of God. It means that God has said to us, individually and collectively, that we are loved by God and that God wants to have a relationship with us. It means that we can be led by and be empowered by the Spirit of God. If we allow the Lord to take control of our lives. What a wonderful birthday present. This is a fantastic gift. A free gift. Why wouldn't we want to accept it? Let us pray. Most gracious God, thank you for the manifestation of your being in the form of your Holy Spirit. We don't see you, but we sense your movement in our lives. Help us to be open to your presence in our lives. Help us to be and do your will. We give you all honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As we turn to God in prayer, let me share a few joys and concerns as we pray. First of all, we look forward in 2 weeks to coming back together in-person services. Remember, we're trying it at 9:30 in the morning. Some other joys and concerns. You heard in the announcements that the Pollinate Group is going to be having an open house and a ribbon cutting ceremony on June the 1st, a week from Tuesday. We're excited for their success, and we have been praying for their success. And we pray that indeed they will minister to these ladies as they try to get back into life. We also have heard from Youth Works that they're planning to be back in the area in June and July. And they'll be housed over at the First Presbyterian Church in Charleston. And they will be working from there. So we want to lift up their efforts in the community and with those young people. Some other concerns. Barbara Clark. Barbara had an operation last week on her back. She had a fall, and that precipitated having to be in and do some surgery. She has been in ICU and has been released now from that and is now going over to rehab. So we want to continue to lift up Barbara, Susan, that whole Clark family, how much the Lord has put upon them. And we pray blessings upon them. We pray for Keely Carruthers. This is a young person who is a friend of Frank Oates. John and Betty's son, Frank. Well, Keely was flighted from here to Cincinnati, Ohio, to have some work done. And she is taking chemo and, has been in ICU, is now out, and we need to lift her up and her family. We also have a concern for Willie Haynes. Willie had a surgery last week and is continuing to recover from that, and we give God thanks for that. So with that, let us turn to God in prayer. Almighty God, You speak and the heavens tremble. You move and the leaves of the tree shiver with delight. The babble of waters on their course to the sea attest to Your wisdom and plan for creation. A child does not cry without Your hearing it. As a parent, You brood over young ones and watch their coming and going. No one and no thing can evade Your watchful presence. We give You thanks that You see fit even to dwell in our midst. We are amazed by Your love for us and moved that You should send Your Son to atone for our sins. We give You thanks that He walked this earthly life, suffered as we do, yet remained steadfastly obedient. Give us a measure of His faithfulness. Lend us the necessary commitment to be His disciples. Grant that our decisions and actions may be in accord with His will for us. Frustrate us when our involvement departs from His path. We are in awe of the wisdom You continually give us, how You fill us with the Holy Spirit, who offers counsel and guidance. You share our concerns, accompany us amid the routines of the day, and comfort us during times of great anxiety. When our spirits radiate joy, You rejoice with us. Make us grateful to hear Your word of discipline and ready always to return You thanks. Help us to be mindful of Your presence with us and to reflect Your indwelling Spirit in all that we do. Guide now our movements and courses of action. May we care for others as You care for us. Bring life to our spirits and a sense of joy to our living. Let our days be full of witness to Your overwhelming goodness. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen.